hour number three of Sports Talk begins with Vince Ferrara, who's pinch hitting today for Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. We now head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline, where it's always a pleasure for us to say hello to our good and longtime friend, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle. Does a fantastic job, has covered the NFL for years and years and years and years. You can follow his work at TexasSportsNation.com as well as Cron.com. Fantastic follow on Twitter at McClain_on_NFL. John, how are you?
I'm doing great. John, how are you?
Doing quite well. Always appreciate your time. And you're, of course, right there front and center. What is going on? How fractured, if at all, is the relationship, as so many people want to paint it, with Deshaun Watson and the Texans right now? Is that something that's getting worse as time passes?
Well, first of all, everything about Deshaun Watson and him wanting out of Houston is in the national media, leaked by people close to Watson. He's tweeted three different times over the last 2 weeks lines from rap songs in which people try to analyze it and see, what does he mean? And first of all, if he has to be traded, people think he's going to be traded. Why would they trade him? You don't have to trade him. What is he going to do, retire? His new contract kicks in next year. If a player sits out, he doesn't get credit for a season. His new contract goes from $10 million to $35 million, so that would move everything back a year. He has not said he wanted to be traded. He's not said what the problem is. People close to him say he didn't like not being kept abreast of the general manager hiring Nick Caserio, which everybody thinks great, and Caserio's hiring the head coach, and he said he would keep him up to date on that, and so would the owner, Cal McNair. And so I believe it'll all blow over, and there's going to be a lot of people in the media with egg on their face, just like last night. This blows me away. There was a reporter for ESPN in Toronto who reported Michael Brantley is signing with the Blue Jays. Michael Brantley from the Astros following George Springer. And three or four other national reporters confirmed it immediately. And then Jeff Passan from ESPN said, there's no deal. They're not close to a deal. So all these people had egg on their face. And then it was broken here by TV reporter. Michael Brantley has re-signed with the Astros. And then everybody nationally starts stealing it, acting like they have it. And I'm sorry if I'm venting here a little bit. I will always love Philip Rivers, because when he made his retirement official, he called the longtime beat writer for the San Diego Union Tribune, Kevin Acey, who's now a columnist, and gave him the story. And then all the national guys stole it and didn't give him credit. So all day today, when I was retweeting, beat guys like me who covered teams locally were praising Rivers for giving it to Acey and praising Acey for getting it, instead of agents leaking to the national media. So those are two things that drive me crazy. And when people are wrong, they never admit they're wrong. They just act like they didn't have it. So if I will be so wrong if they trade him, and my lead on my column tomorrow says, trade Deshaun Watson, that's one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And then I go into detail why. And then I point out, even if he were to get traded, which he won't, he's got a long way to go to catch up some other Houston. I call it a hall of shame because of dunderheads in the front office for years that traded Joe Morgan from the Astros to the Reds, where he became a two-time MVP and won two World Series. A pitcher named Mike Cuellar traded for a tomato can to Baltimore, where he won Cy Young 20 games four times in two World Series. The Oilers, Kenny Houston, Steve Largent, Warren Moon, just three who went on to Hall of Fames with other teams. And then the Rockets, how about Elvin Hayes and Moses Malone, both of whom were traded, won championships with other teams and went to Hall of Fame. And while Nolan Ryan wasn't a trade, one of our former owners, the vilified John McMullen, didn't want to pay him, to let him go to the Rangers, where he played five more years. So we have a rogues gallery of owners and GMs who traded Hall of Famers in all three sports. And so if they were to trade Watson, he'd just have to fall in line.
John, speaking of Hall of Famers, do you think that Drew Brees will join Phillip Rivers in not only retirement, but being in the same future Hall of Fame class?
No, I do not believe they'll be in the same Hall of Fame class. I believe Brees will be a first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. I spent 9 hours in our annual Hall of Fame selection committee meeting yesterday, and I feel pretty sure that Manning fellow is going to get in. In fact, I've been telling people, Mike Chappell from Indianapolis, who is our representative for the Colts, when usually the way you do it, you have a presenter, and then other people weigh in, and you may spend 30 minutes debating a candidate. And Mike stood up, and, well, we were on Zoom, so I don't know if he stood up. He might have been doing it in his underwear. And he said, ladies and gentlemen, Peyton Manning. And that was like Brett Favre, John Elway, Joe Montana, Dan Marino, and Jerry Rice. All you did was say his name and thank you. And then they say, anybody got anything? Nobody said a word. Good. We can move on to the next candidate. So I'm pretty sure that means Peyton is in. Of course, Peyton's in. I think Brees will go in on the first ballot. I think Rivers will not go in on the first ballot, but I think he will go in, and he deserves to go in. We don't put a lot of quarterbacks in there. When you're a quarterback, you have got to be a no-brainer. And when you are a first ballot, there can be no debate when it comes to a quarterback like Peyton Manning.
What do you think of Bill O'Brien potentially being Alabama's offensive coordinator? How do you see him in that role, John?
I think it's tremendous. Bill's background's in college football. He got a chance to go to the Patriots as the bottom of the barrel, an offensive assistant in 07, worked his way up to offensive coordinator. Because the Texans play the Patriots every year, not this year, of course, I can't tell you how many times Brady and Belichick praise the heck out of O'Brien. And Bill is a head coach and a play caller. He won four divisions in 5 years. This year, of course, he started 0-4 in a tough schedule and got fired. He always had a good relationship with Deshaun Watson. Watson praised him constantly. He oversaw the game plan, coached the starting quarterback a lot, called the plays. I think it's a great opportunity for him. They always have so much talent there, and I believe after a couple of years with Nick Saban, we'll see Bill O'Brien as a head coach again, whether it's in college football or the NFL.
John, with so many coaching searches going on, you still have, I guess, three that are ongoing in the National Football League and a lot going on in the college ranks. Making that transition from college up to the NFL, what do you think are the biggest challenges, and why hasn't there been more success for college coaches moving up in level in their level of competition?
If there were more Jimmy Johnsons, then you would see it, but that's been rare. You know, Barry Switzer did it, but he won a Super Bowl with Jimmy's players and didn't try to act like he didn't, but he still won one. I was doing a show the other day, and they brought up Pete Carroll. I said, no, he does not count. He was fired by two NFL teams before he went to USC and came back to Seattle, and he was a better coach. So will Urban Meyer be like Nick Saban and fail and then go back to college? But I'll say this about Saban. He wanted Drew Brees, and they gave him Dante Culpepper coming off knee surgery. So maybe if the main thing you have to have, if you're a college coach, you got to have strong personnel people, scouting department. You got to have experienced NFL coaches. I say that. Jimmy Johnson brought all his coaches from Miami. And I thought, man, how stupid is he not to have some NFL experience in there? And they won three Super Bowls. But he had a really good scouting staff led by one of the all-time best, Dick Mansperger. And he was Jimmy didn't go find Leon Lett or Larry Allen or some of those guys that he found from smaller schools or schools out in the middle of nowhere. The scouts did, and the personnel department. Now, he had to watch the tape. He may have gone to watch work them out on his own, and he signed off on it because he had total control. And Urban Meyer has hired Trent Baalke. Urban Meyer is running the show. It's going to be fun to watch with Trevor Lawrence. Will he be able to do what other coaches have been unable to do? And the thing I'd be worried about if I was the Jaguars, he's had to retire twice because of health reasons. And so I'd be worried that he's not going to be there long because of health reasons.
Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. We'll get a break. More with John coming up as you listen to Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
From the Budweiser studios of The Sports Animal.
Whenever I'm about to do something, I think, would an idiot do that? And if they would, I do not do that thing.
We are 99.1 The Sports Animal.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara, pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. Our guest, John McClain of the Houston Chronicle, as he joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. John, you mentioned that it came to as a surprise in Week 17 that Chad Henne was still in the league, and no doubt about it, I think the Browns were surprised when Henne was able to help the Chiefs maintain their lead and get them back to the AFC title game for a third straight week. What did you think in terms of Mahomes being out for the tail end of that game, as well as what their backup did for Andy Reid and company?
Until last season, when the Chiefs won the Super Bowl for Andy Reid, he got blasted so much for being a poor game day manager. Clock problems, bad play calls, gambling, taking unnecessary chances. So then Andy Reid wins the Super Bowl, and everybody loves Big Red, including me. And so when I saw Chad Henne in the shotgun, needing a foot, and I'm listening to Tony Romo, no way he's going to snap the ball. They're trying to draw him off sides. Boy, Jim, they're not going to jump. There's no way he's going to. Oh, my God, he snapped it. And so it worked. Now, if it hadn't worked and they had been stopped and Cleveland scored a touchdown and the Chiefs had lost, it would go down as one of the dumbest calls in history. But now it's one of the greatest. Some games you're the bug. Sometimes you're the windshield. In this case, Andy Reid made a call that will live in NFL history, and it's not like he had Patrick Mahomes. It was like he made the call and Mahomes was out there. We're talking about Chad Henne, and it worked, and now they're going to host Buffalo in the championship game. But I was happy for Henne, who's been around forever, and especially Andy Reid. And I felt bad for the Browns fans, but I don't know Kevin Stefanski. I know Reid, and I'm really happy for him. But man, oh man, what a gutsy call. Can you imagine how much you guys would have been talking about that this week if it backfired and the Browns were on the way to the championship game for the first time since Bernie Kosar was their quarterback?
Wow. John, what is your expectation on Patrick Mahomes playing on Sunday?
He'll play practice today. And if you have a concussion and you don't come back into the game, usually you miss the next game. And remember, these are independent neurologists hired by the NFL, not the team's neurologists. So he didn't come back in the game, which makes you think he missed this week, but they said he was out at practice on Wednesday, going through a light practice. I'm guessing he will be back.
There's been Jimmy and I talked to you on Friday, and we asked you about some new hires. I think there have been like three since then, so wanted to get your thoughts on Dan Campbell with the Lions, Brandon Staley, a one-time GA at the University of Tennessee under Derek Dooley, and then also was it Arthur Smith with the Atlanta Falcons?
Well, first of all, Brandon Staley, he is a rising star. He goes from coaching outside linebackers at Chicago with defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. Then Vic gets a head coaching job at Denver. He goes to linebackers coach. And then I was stunned. Sean McVay let Wade Phillips go, didn't renew his contract, and hired some guy named Staley from Denver who'd never been a coordinator. So, like Mike Tomlin, He was a coordinator for 1 year and got hired. Texans interviewed him. Mike DiMilotti had multiple interviews. I'm really happy for Arthur Smith. We all knew he was going to be a head coach. It just mattered where he was going to go. And then Dan Campbell, who had been an interim coach at Miami, he's from Texas A&M, and I know people talk positively about him through the years, but I'm still really surprised that he got the head coaching job there. I hope it works out for him. But to me, that was the one that was the biggest surprise.
John, how do you see the NFL's Final Four this weekend? Why don't you start with Buffalo and Kansas City, and what have you seen? What has impressed you most about Josh Allen's season this year?
I might be wrong, and maybe the Texans hire Indianapolis defensive coordinator Matt Eberflus, but I believe one of the coordinators in this game will be their next coach. Eric Bieniemy, Chiefs offense, Leslie Frazier, Bills defense, both have done tremendous jobs. I'm really surprised that Buffalo offensive coordinator Brian Daboll, who all the national media said last week was going to the Chargers, they, of course, hired Brandon Staley, and Daboll now is looking at next year to be head coach. He's done a tremendous job with the Bills offense and with Josh Allen. This time last year, Allen was coming off a terrible second half in which the Bills blew a 16-0 lead to Deshaun Watson and the Texans in a wild card game. But, man, whatever he did over the offseason, he was a different quarterback. Now he's one of the best. Brian Daboll has a lot to do with that, as does Eric Bieniemy, who doesn't call the plays, but he's the offensive coordinator for Andy Reid. And I think one of those guys will end up being the next head coach of the Texans. I'm going with the Chiefs, would not pick against the Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes at Arrowhead Stadium. And in the NFC, not picking against Aaron Rodgers, going to be the MVP at Lambeau Field.
With the Chiefs, and again, there's so much. The first time as a franchise, they won 14 games in the season, and they have. But their last eight wins, they've won 10 of their last 11, but their last eight victories have all been a touchdown, and most of those have been less than a touchdown. Is that simply the mark of an outstanding team, or do you think that the Chiefs are a little more vulnerable this year than perhaps they might have been last year? How do you see that?
There's something like 24-1 over the last 25 games. I'm thinking they're just toying with teams. In this case, if Mahomes played the whole game, we got to think they'd have scored another touchdown, maybe more, and it wouldn't have been as close as it was. So I think that was a byproduct of the concussion. I think now, of course, if you get down to crunch time in December and then you get in the playoffs, the games are traditionally closer. So I still think they're the best team in the NFL, and Green Bay is close behind.
So what do you think what do you think of the matchup between Tom Brady? You shared who you think will win, but what do you think about Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers finally meeting in a playoff game?
The discrepancy in these two games at quarterback is pretty amazing. You got the young guys from the AFC with Mahomes, and he's playing against one of the best young quarterbacks in Josh Allen. Then you go to the NFC, and you got 43-year-old Tom Brady. And if Rodgers is not 38, he'll be 38 soon. And one through 48 touchdown passes and another through 40. It might be the last time we see them. They played this year two times. This will be the second time. Brady won the first one when the Packers played their worst game. But I think it's, I always tell people, it's such an honor to cover the NFL because of all the great quarterbacks and as much as they throw the ball. I'd love to have seen guys like Montana and Marino and Elway and Warren Moon and Jim Kelly and those guys play today where you could throw the ball most of the time and see what kind of incredible statistics they would have compiled too.
What do you? How much do you enjoy, if indeed we see foul weather, which is certainly possible whenever you go to Arrowhead Stadium or to Lambeau Field?
As someone who's been to both those stadiums many times over the last 44 years, including three times in Kansas City the last two seasons, it gets windy in Kansas City. The stadium is out by itself. There's nothing to block the wind. And it can be cold, it can be icy. Where in Lambeau, and I love going to Lambeau in December. Never been in January, I don't think. Oh, no, I have for playoff games I used to cover. And you love it when there's snow. The surfaces of the fields today are so much better than they used to be. You go back and you look at those stadiums back before they were renovated, state-of-the-art heating systems underneath the surface, and you couldn't get your footing. Where today, if it's been raining or snowing, it goes so fast. So I like it, Green Bay, when it's a winter wonderland. Big old chunks of snow coming down, no wind, just coming down. That's what I hope it is in the NFC Championship game. What players don't like, they don't like wind. They don't like ice. They don't mind rain as long as there's not a lot of wind. But you know what? That's playoff football.
You mentioned the piece you're putting together in regards to Deshaun Watson and his situation. What else are you working on this week?
Well, I've done, I think, 4 podcasts. Got a TV show out there that's on our Texas Sports Nation website. Columns every day, feature stories, news stories. We got everything, TexasSportsNation.com. Guys, thank you very much for having me, as always, and enjoy what should be another great football weekend.
John, thank you. We certainly will. Hope you do the same, and can't wait to talk to you when we know the Super Bowl pairing next week.
Thanks, John.
That's John McClain of the Houston Chronicle joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.